May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, come Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Last month, Joy and I were blessed to take a Doctor of Ministry class on the life and theology of Dietrich Bonhoeffer as part of my sabbatical. And one evening, we were walking on a side street in Berlin at dusk. As we were passing by what appeared to be a homeless man lying down, propped up against the wall outside of a bar. The man did not have a shirt on, and he was really out of it. I'm not sure, but he may have been drunk. Though we had seen many people before on the streets of Berlin asking for money, this man wasn't even coherent enough to ask for anything. And there were people in the bar who were taking no notice of him and people passing by on the street. I don't know about you, but I really struggle with that kind of a scene. You see it in any major city, certainly in New York as well. I struggle wondering, what can I do to really help? I usually think that if I give such a person money, it'll be used to buy drugs or alcohol. And to be honest, unless I have the opportunity to give such a person food, I often did not give them anything. This man wasn't even asking, and so we walked past him as everyone else was doing. But then something in me clicked. And I remembered the strong emphasis of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's theology that we had discussed in class earlier that day. And I did something different than usual. I'll tell you what that was in a few minutes. But first, let me ask you to consider something. Suppose Jesus Christ in the flesh came here this morning to St. Luke's, and you knew it was him without question. How would you treat him? What would you do? You might bow down in worship, but suppose he said, "No, not now. I just want to join you at St. Luke's this morning." What would you do? Perhaps offer him his choice of seat? Give him a bulletin, offer to bring him water, coffee, ask if he needed anything, talk to him, maybe ask some questions. Think about it for a minute. What would you do if Jesus was here? How would you treat Jesus if he was sitting next to you this morning? Now hold that thought. The epistle reading this morning has something to say to both of these situations. James, the brother of Jesus, says, suppose a rich person comes into your midst, looking all put together and impressive. How would you welcome such a person? Now suppose a homeless person came in tattered clothes, dirty and smelly. How would you welcome that person? For James, the answer should be the same, or at least with equal courtesy, care, and attention. This can be more difficult than it sounds. What goes through your mind when you encounter someone who looks unkempt, scruffy, dirty, and smelly? How would you feel about such a person coming into worship here this morning? We live in lovely suburbia, but many inner city churches have such people coming in all the time. We tend to be a bit more formal in our part of the world, but there are places where people show up for worship on Sunday morning in cutoff shorts, tank tops, and flip-flops. How would you feel about someone showing up here this morning dressed that way? I was in one situation on my sabbatical where I felt Joy and I were being completely ignored, and it made me wonder why. Because we were Americans, because we were outsiders, not part of the circle of friends there, it was a very unpleasant feeling to be with a group of people who were all talking to each other, not knowing anyone, and be completely ignored. It made me wonder if anyone ever feels like that at coffee hour or when they come here on Sunday mornings. I think we do a great job with welcome ministry. Our people do show warmth. I've had visitors comment on how warm and welcoming our church is. But it is so easy, isn't it, to miss someone standing alone, talk to our friends on Sunday morning, and not interact with people we don't know? James in this epistle is using this example of a visitor, a stranger, coming into your midst. But I think he wants us to see something even deeper. He's saying not just in how we welcome others, but in how we treat other people. Are we showing equal love, respect, and attention to all? James cites the second greatest commandment that Jesus calls us to keep: love your neighbor as yourself. That sounds nice, but it can be hard to actually live that way. James also uses familial language: brothers. We are a Christian family. So James is telling us we should treat everyone with the same level of love and attention that we give to ourselves, loving our neighbors as ourselves, and that we should treat everyone as family, brothers and sisters. But I think what is most fundamental that James wants us to see is nothing other than the presence of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, as he calls the Lord. James is asking us to reflect on the question, where is Jesus? That was Dietrich Bonhoeffer's question for the church. Where is Jesus today? How do we, as followers of Christ, encounter Jesus today? Bonhoeffer's answer was, we encounter Jesus within other people. His theology remembers places in the New Testament that address this. For example, where it says our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, a temple is a place where God dwells. So the Holy Spirit, God, dwells in your body. Scripture also says that we are followers of Christ. We are the body of Christ, each having Christ within us, bringing a unique contribution to the whole. Like various parts of the body, we, as members of the body of Christ, represent Christ to the world and to one another. And then there are those stern words of Jesus, of warning and judgment, where he says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was sick or in prison, you visited me. And the people say, when did we see you hungry or sick or in prison? And Jesus says, when you have done it to one of the least of these, you've done it to me. The way we treat another person can very literally be the way we're actually treating Jesus Christ. The point this morning is that as I look out upon your faces, as I look into your eyes, I see Jesus this morning in you. And you, and you. If I had time, I'd go around to each and every one of you. I see Jesus in you. The Lord lives within our hearts. He is here. He is with us. What an amazing, amazing concept. So look for a moment, would you? Look to your right. Look to your left. Look to the people sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you. You are looking at Jesus. The way you're thinking you would treat Jesus a moment ago, when I asked you to consider if he was here in the flesh this morning, that is the way you should be treating those people. For if you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it to me. Jesus is here this morning in the body, literally in us, gathered in his name. This is actually very challenging because it applies to a person who really annoys you, or that person who made you angry. It applies to people you really don't like. James says, no favoritism. Love those people as you love yourself. They are your brothers and sisters. Treat them as you would want to be treated. Treat them as you would Jesus Christ. And it's not just people in the church or your family or in your circle of friends, but it's those people, everyone out there in the world. You can't tell just by looking at someone whether the Spirit of God lives in them. Jesus indicates that sometimes we don't even realize it. But the way we treat another person is actually what we're doing to him. When you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it to me. Jesus dwells in rich people and poor people, in those who live in mansions and in those who are stinky and smelly living on the streets. Jesus lives in black people, Hispanic people, Asian people, white people, illegal immigrants, and Trump supporters. Jesus lives in all races and all kinds of people. Jesus lives in Democrats and Republicans. Jesus lives in that checkout clerk who really annoyed you this week, And he lives in that person who cut you off on the highway. Jesus lives in the inner city poor, the unemployed, the needy in our country. Jesus lives in the disabled, the shut-ins, the mentally ill, the oppressed, the incarcerated, LGBTQ people. Jesus lives in all kinds of people. And James is saying today, treat everyone without favoritism, even if you don't know them. I was going to say, Jesus is going to be out there on Main Street this morning, but it's raining, so he's going to be in Green Hall this morning. Jesus is seated next to you. Jesus is in the youth, the children of this parish. Jesus is in your everyday life, potentially in everyone you encounter. James, the Lord's brother, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says to us this morning, show no partiality, echoing Jesus' teaching to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to remember that when you do it to one of the least of these, you're doing it to Jesus. And so what clicked inside of me in the streets of Berlin last month was that laying over there next to that bar in a horrible way without a shirt and, as it turned out, in a puddle of urine lay potentially Jesus Christ. And if that were Jesus, would I pass by? I would not. So I stopped. And I turned around and I went back. And I didn't know how to help that man. So I put a few euros in his hand. And I said a prayer that somehow God would bless that small offering to be of some help to him. It was a simple thing, really. But it was all I could think to do. I couldn't shake the feeling that this was Jesus laying in need of help. Are there people in your life that you're struggling with, that you are not treating the way you would if they were Jesus? I know, Jesus wouldn't do that thing they did. We are all imperfect human beings, but we are also creatures created in the image of God who have been created to bear the Holy Spirit within us, to have Jesus live within us. And so even that imperfect person is Jesus to you. And when you do whatever you do to the least of such people, you're doing it to Jesus. And we don't know who we might encounter in the world around us who's filled with the Holy Spirit and is Jesus to us. When asked by a man, who is my neighbor? Who should I love as myself? Jesus answered in the parable of Good Samaritan, everybody. Even the person that you despise the most. For that's what Jews felt about Samaritans. Even that person is still a person. Even that person you must treat with love and respect. This was the bedrock of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's theology, but it's also how he lived. In 1945, the Allies were making great progress in overrunning the German army. The end of the war was but weeks away, and Hitler and the Germans knew it. But Hitler had a special vendetta against some prisoners, and because Dietrich Bonhoeffer had been part of a plot to assassinate Hitler, he was on that list. And so, along with a few other special prisoners, some Nazi guards loaded Dietrich and the others onto a truck, and they set off toward the center of Germany. And the prisoners knew that any day could be their last, and the guards knew that any day the Third Reich would fall. And they came to a village, and while they were being held in a location, the prisoners asked Pastor Dietrich if he would lead them in a communion service. Dietrich said yes, but looking at the Nazi soldier guarding them, he said, only if he joins us. And the Nazi guard said, I can't do that. And Dietrich said, then I won't do this service. Because if I do it and leave you out, I might be leaving Jesus out. And so the Nazi guard decided he would participate. A day or so later, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed. And a few days after that, the war was over. I wonder what impact Dietrich made on the life and soul of that Nazi guard. He certainly made an impact on the other prisoners. We just don't know where we might encounter Jesus. The point this morning is very simple, but the implications of it are profound. James tells us this is the evidence that our faith is alive and genuine. Treat everyone as if they were Jesus. For just as Jesus himself said, when you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it to me. To him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.
Please stand. Let us affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being.